Welcome to Operation Oversight, the official podcast of the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. I'm Jen George Nickel, and today I have a special guest with me. Scott Harmon is the Deputy Assistant Inspector General for Audits and Inspections based in Sagar's office in Kabul, Afghanistan. Welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
With only 30 people and in a country like Afghanistan, how are you guys able to conduct oversight, especially with the worsening security situation? How have you guys been able to adapt to continue implementing SIGAR's mission and overseeing American programs there?
We have a civil society organization that we work with by the name of Integrity Watch Afghanistan, or IWA. We've had to, as the years went by, we've had to rely a great deal on them. They call SIGAR the eyes and ears of the American taxpayer in Afghanistan. However, IWA is our eyes and ears. Over the last, I'd say, 3 years, which we've really utilized them, they've been able to travel to 28 of the 34 provinces. They've done about 500 inspection-type reviews for us, 500 different facilities. So we've relied on them a great deal, and that's really worked out. What makes us special in terms of both the other inspectors general and the regular USAID and Department of State, how they can conduct their duties around Afghanistan, is that they really don't have an IWA type that can be their eyes and ears. So generally, we get out more. If you take what SIGAR can do, what our locals can do, and what IWA does for us, we get out more than any other agency in Afghanistan for oversight.
It sounds like IWA is a really important and interesting organization.
They can really be utilized a lot more than what they are. We're trying to figure out new ways to use them. For example, when we did our promote and our rural agricultural development program audits, we utilized IWA extensively to conduct telephone surveys. Their reach is tremendous. They actually do have outreach in every province. I think it's just up to us to be able to utilize them to their fullest. And we have some ideas in the next year or so that I think we'll be able to utilize them to the maximum extent. When we first started working with them almost 4 years ago, I was like, wow, I'm really not sure what we can do with these guys. However, that's back when we were getting out and we could do this work ourselves. I think what's outstanding about IWA's capabilities is even in the time back in 2012 when we could travel to the maximum extent that we could ever travel, we would never have been able to hit all the provinces that IWA does, nor could we stay on venue. Even if we do go out to a site, typically we can only be on the venue for about an hour or two, and then we can only do it once a week. With IWA, they gave us the capacity to 3, 4, 5, 6 hours on venue, which we could never do, and also go to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in consecutive days, which we were never able to do. So honestly, I think our programs have gotten stronger as we personally, our SIGAR employees, maybe have been able to access sites less.
That's important since U.S. taxpayer dollars have gone to all the areas you're talking about, all the sites that you mentioned. And if we can't get out there to see what's happened, it sounds like what you're telling me is state or aid is certainly not out there conducting oversight to see what's happened to their facilities or DOD.
Even DOD, with all the might and resources that our U.S. military has, they just don't have the reach. Unfortunately, what we've seen in, you know, our audits and inspections is monitoring and evaluation. Inspector General Sopko on his trip stated that again and again, that we put these programs and build this infrastructure, I would say in the hinterlands, but it doesn't even have to be in the hinterlands. It can just be 5 miles outside the city. And we just have zero visibility over that. So when we send our civil society partners, IWA or our locals out there, that's painfully obvious.
If we can't see where the money's gone, I'm assuming there's a much greater chance, or risk rather, of it having been wasted.
Absolutely.
It seems like a really unique, if not unprecedented, model you've set up with IWA over there. That seems like it's making a big difference for Sagard's ability to conduct oversight. Can you tell us a little more about how that model works, why it's been able to be so effective?
Well, I think two reasons why it's been able to be so effective is cost and also just access. They have a team who's have the same goals we do. They realize that not only is integrity in their name, but they want Afghanistan to work. A lot of their staff are Western educated. They came back, which to me means that they want their country to prosper. And they have the same goals we do. They want to see the money spent wisely.
They're all Afghans.
Yes. They're all Afghans, either Afghan or Afghan-Canadian, British, German, American, but they're all born in Afghanistan. A lot of them went, received their education in the West, and they came back. As a matter of fact, a couple of them have come back to IWA, which I think is another testament to what their organization stands for. But they're incredible. There was one inspection when we first started working with them. Of course, we wanted to see what they could do, and they weren't really sure what we wanted. So we sent them to a couple of sites that we had already performed inspections on, so we knew what they were going to see. One of them was Shebergon Teacher Training Facility. One of them was Gardez Hospital. And two, even 3-4 years ago, they were not in very good areas. Now those areas are completely contested. And one of the IWA's inspectors told me that they had to wear certain clothing at certain times of the day where they were going through Taliban checkpoints. It's pretty scary stuff, considering they're risking their life to inspect a facility that was paid for by U.S. funds. You know, that's why I think it makes them really valuable, is they really care about the work.
Something built in an area that the United States assumed would retain is now an area that even local Afghans have to conduct costume changes to be able to safely operate in.
Absolutely. To be clear, the costume is probably also to fit into more of the local tribes, but certainly to be able to pass safely through these contested areas, because the Taliban set up checkpoints. They set up checkpoints to both collect money and also see who's working with the foreigners. So they have to dress to fit in. And one of these inspections, I received a call from one of the inspectors, and they said, well, we're going to need a couple extra days because this area is going to be shut off for a couple days because the Taliban are marching in. So once it clears, we'll start inspecting again. So to my earlier point, we would have never been able to have access like that. That's what makes them really incredible, both in terms of their work product and then their courage.
How big is IWA?
They have the paid staff numbers about 30, so they're a very small organization. However, they have volunteers throughout all the provinces and all the districts in the provinces. And these volunteers all want to see Afghanistan develop, flourish. They extend IWA's reach as well into just about every nook and cranny of Afghanistan. As far as volunteers, Inspector General Sopko gave a speech at their conference in June where they called a lot of these volunteers in, and there was at least 150 in the auditorium that came in to Kabul, risking their lives to receive an award that really amounted to just a piece of paper. I was extremely impressed that these people could get in from the areas they got in from. When Mr. Sopko was there, they were truly appreciative that he came there and recognized them.
That's great. It seems like a very productive model. We were so glad that you were able to join us today on the podcast, and we hope you'll come back sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Scott. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Operation Oversight.